My name is Alan Morris. I'm going to be talking to you today about a body of Christ. The body of Christ. Now, you need to get your Bibles out and get your pencils and papers because this is going to be interesting, I think. Now, we talked about the body of Christ some months ago. So we're going to call this the Body of Christ Part 2. Now, there will be some things that we have already said, and we'll repeat some of these things, but these things are important, and we should know these things, and the only way to continue to know them is to keep repeating them and repeating them so people can truly understand what we're doing. The Body of Christ Part 2. First of all, I guess we'd ask, what is the body of Christ? Well, the body of Christ is a called out people, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're mainly Gentiles. And it all started after Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, and then he went down to Arabia and he met with the Lord. And that's when it started, somewhere around 8 years after Pentecost, when the body of Christ was started with Jesus and Saul of Tarsus, will become Paul. And they put together a whole new church, which was called the body of Christ. You see, the Jewish system totally rejected Jesus. And he's going to set them aside now and call out a whole new people. And it's called the body of Christ, and he is going to be the head of the body of Christ. Now, this church is a spiritual church. It isn't a church of wood or steel or brick. It's something you walk into. This is something when you believe the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That's salvation for the body of Christ. And Jesus points to his death on that cross for our salvation. Not who he was or who he is. It's what he did is what saves us. And he died on that cross to pay for our sins. And if he hadn't done that, we'd still be in our sins. So that's why he pointed to the cross for the salvation for the body of Christ. We believe that Christ died for our sins, and he was buried and rose from the dead. And this is the only thing that Paul preached, was for the body of Christ for salvation, was the gospel. And that's what Jesus called it. Paul didn't get the gospel from man. He said in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11. Write that down. Galatians 1:11. He didn't get it from man. He wasn't taught it by man. He got it from the revelation from the Jesus Christ. He's the one who set up the gospel for salvation for this body of Christ. This body of Christ is members of anybody on this earth. It didn't make any difference what race, what creed, or anything. When they believe the body, they believe the gospel for their salvation, they will be saved. They will be saved. And this is a called out group of people. Let me show you something. Turn to Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians. 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Galatians. And then Ephesians. Look at verses 3. Chapter 1, verses 3. Give you an idea about this church. It says, "Blessed be the God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, accordingly as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of his Son, Jesus Christ, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, his grace, through which he hath made us acceptable in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood." See, it's the gospel. His death on that cross. He redeemed us because we believed that he shed his blood for us, died for our sins, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You notice something about that. He said this body of Christ was chosen before the foundations of the world. In other words, Every person that's going to be in this body, God already knows who they are. And it's up to Him, you see, it's up to God to provide the gospel to these people. Because if these people hear the gospel, they will know it. They will believe it. And they will become a member of the body of Christ. But God has to get that done. Well, today the churches don't preach the gospel for salvation. And so He had to go to gifted men, to people that would preach and teach the gospel. And there's a lot of people out there teaching that aren't preachers. They aren't preachers. Turn to 2 Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this is when Paul was talking to Timothy, and this is his last book that he wrote, and because he was going to be killed after this, at the last part of this book. And it said, and the things, verses 2, Timothy chapter 2, verses 2, and it says, the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You see, the church isn't doing it, so he had to go to faithful men. Like I learned it from Les Feldick. He wasn't a pastor. He was just a teacher. But he was just an old cowman. He raises cattle for a living. That's what he does. But he teaches, and he teaches the gospel. And he called me at a late age. I'm 71 years old. He called me to teach the gospel because the church wasn't teaching it. Because there's people out there today that would believe the gospel if they ever heard it. But you can't hear it in churches today. 99% of them aren't preaching the gospel. And so, that's what he turned us to tell faithful people to do. Faithful men. I hope there's lots of them throughout the world. But I'm seeing that there's hundreds and even thousands of people in the 4 months that I've dealt with it have come to know the Lord through the gospel. And it's just beyond my imagination. So the body of Christ is a group of people, called out people by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they would be a member of this body of Christ. And the body of Christ is the only people that are going to heaven. They're the only people that are saved on this earth. You have to believe the gospel for your salvation. Look what Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. What? Believe what? The gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe the gospel. It didn't say believe the gospel and accept Jesus as your Savior. It didn't say believe the gospel and be baptized. It didn't say believe the gospel and speak in tongues, or believe the gospel and join a church, or pray to Mary, or pray to the saints, or anything. It just says believe the gospel, and you'll be saved. You'll be saved. And not only that, you'll be saved, you'll also become sealed with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at this. Let's look at that close. It's important. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The most important verse in the Bible. This is the one that Satan has totally blinded to people. They wouldn't see this, but this is it. When you want to talk about the gospel, this explains it to as a fifth grader could understand. They always said. It says, and he's writing these letters to the Corinthian church. And every letter that he wrote, he's writing to believers. He's writing to those churches that had actually totally believed the gospel. None of these people don't believe the gospel. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, not a gospel. This is the gospel that he's preaching, and that I preached unto you, and that which you have received, and which you stand. This church stood on the gospel. And it says, also, by which also you are saved. This is what you're looking for, salvation. This is it. This is the gospel. This is how you are saved. Then it says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. In other words, you've got to truly believe it. And you see, you can't fool nobody, because God is the one that's going to determine if you believe it or not. And He's perfect. You can fool your wife, you can fool the children, you can fool a minister, you can fool anybody, but you can't fool God. But when you believe the gospel, and God knows you do, He will fill you with the Holy Spirit. We'll get to that in just a second. He says, "For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received." We just said, saw that in Galatians 1:11. You know, he received it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus, here it is now, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 explains the gospel here better than any place in the Scripture, and it's the most important verse in the Bible. Now let's turn to Ephesians. Turn through 1 and 2 Corinthians and Galatians, and then you would go to Ephesians. Ephesians, and just look at verse chapter 1, look at verses 12. It says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. What's the word of truth? The gospel. The gospel of what? Of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Let me look at 14. Who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. What's the purchase? We are. We're the purchased possession. He purchased us. He redeemed us out of sin. He paid for us until he takes us home. When he takes us home, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit till he takes us home. In other words, once you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, there's no way that you can lose your salvation. No way you can lose your salvation once you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. It can't happen. Because he said, he's the one. He's the one that's going to keep you. Let's just, while we're thinking about that, let's just run over here too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's look at verses 23, and look what it says. This is just, you've got to mark this down. Tremendously important. A lot of people don't believe that you're once saved, always saved. They just don't understand the Holy Spirit, and they don't understand the gospel. Look what it says. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to preserve us blameless. Who's going to do it? God is. He's going to preserve us blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 24. Faithful is he. Who's he? Jesus Christ, God, hath called you, who also will do it. Do what? Preserve you blameless. He will do it. He will do it. And there's nothing that God can't do. You see, when that Holy Spirit comes into a person after he believes the gospel, that Holy Spirit is Jesus living in them. And when Jesus is living in you, he's going to guide and direct you the rest of your life, and he will never point you to sin. He will always point you to a closer walk with him. Always will. And if you make a mistake, his grace will cover it. He'll just pick you up and put you right back on the right track, because he is going to do it. He's going to provide you blameless. He's going to do it, not you. He will. That's why once saved, it's always saved, because it's not up to you. It's up to God, because he's going to do it. And this is the verse that says, and there's several others too, but this is a wonderful verse. So we got the body of Christ. This is a group of people that he's called out, mainly Gentiles. Called out mainly Gentiles. And there could be some Jews in it, but just very few. Mainly Gentiles. And he called them out. And they're going to be a members of this body of Christ. And they're baptized into the church. The second you believe the gospel, you're baptized into the body of Christ. And Jesus is the head of the body of Christ. And our salvation is based on the gospel. And that's all Paul preached. He preached the gospel. And that's it. And every one of, like I said, every one of these churches he's written to, they're grounded in the gospel and everything. Turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And we talk about the head of the church. Look what it says in verse 18. It says, and he's talking about Jesus. It says, he is the head of the body of Christ, who is beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. He is the head of the church. It says it right here. He is the head of the church. Now look down here. Let me show you what he says. Verses 23, 22. He says, in the body of his flesh, through death, his death on that cross, to present you. Because you believe the gospel and he died on that cross, through his death, he's going to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Can you comprehend that? Here we are. I don't care what situation you lived in your whole life. When God saves you, he cleanses you. God looks at you then after you're saved. You are perfect because of what Jesus did on that cross. Not anything that you've done. He did it all. He paid the price for everything that ever sin that you've ever committed. And he prayed and he did it for you. And he made you. Can you imagine? Made me holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. But there's an if there. Look at this if. And this is how important the gospel is. If you continue in a faith grounded and settled and not moved away of the hope of the gospel. Of the gospel. That Jesus Christ died for your sins and that he was buried and he rose from the dead. You believe that for your salvation. And this all will be you. This is you. You will be holy, unblameable, and reprovable when you stand before God because you believe the gospel and you cling to that gospel for your salvation. And I'll finish that. Which you have heard and which was preached to every creature that is under heaven, of which I, Paul, have made a minister. Jesus, Paul, was the minister of the gospel. Turn to Romans while we're on that little subject there. Turn to Romans chapter 11 and you'll see verses 13. Romans chapter 11 verses 13. It says, for I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify thine office. You see, everything that Paul dealt with, he was dealing with this body of Christ. And you see, apostles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all those apostles of Jesus Christ, they had no idea about the gospel. They didn't have a clue about the body of Christ. In fact, they weren't even allowed to even go to the Gentiles, let alone preach to them. Look what it says in Matthew. Just turn to Matthew. Matthew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, look what it says. He just got done calling his 12 apostles, 12 disciples. In verse 5, he says, the 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They were commanded not to go to the Gentiles, totally. And look at verse on chapter 9 here, just across to your left, on verses 35. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching their synagogues. Teaching in the synagogues. Was there be any Gentiles in the synagogues? No. And preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among men. Jesus preached only the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is that he was the Messiah. He was the Messiah. He had filled every prophecy of the Old Testament to be the Messiah. He was the Messiah, and that's what he was preaching when he walked on this earth. And he only preached to Israel. Only went to the Jews. Never went to us. I'll give you an idea. And he commanded his disciples not to. So Peter, James, and John never did go to us. Peter did one time. One time he did. He went to Cornelius, and he didn't want to go. He really didn't want to go, but he went because Jesus told him to go, and he preached the gospel of the kingdom to him, and he believed him. And as soon as he believed, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, Cornelius and his family. They believed. And all it was showing Peter that Gentiles are saved differently than the Jews. You see, the Jews, Peter says, you have to repent from your sins. You have to be baptized. Then you have to believe Jesus was the Messiah, and then you would have the Holy Spirit. That's Acts 2:38. That's Acts 2:38. Had nothing to do with the church. Nothing to do with the church. That's how they were saved. But also they were Jews, and they had 600 and some other laws that they had to deal with also. But we don't have any of those things. The body of Christ has nothing to do with Judaism, but the church today keeps bringing Judaism into the church. And Paul doesn't allow that to happen. He says, no way. You cannot bring anything into the body of Christ. We're saved by one more thing, and that's believing the gospel, and God takes it from there. That's it. That's it. And that's a long ways from Judaism. But the churches walk away from Paul's gospel, and they go and listen to Jesus speaking. But what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say in his own words? He wasn't talking to us. He never did talk to the Gentiles. He couldn't do it because he had to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. And the Abrahamic covenant stated that he was going to only to his seed, Isaac and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and all those, all of the Jews, all the Israelites. That's only, he was going to come to them and fulfill the promises that he had to Abraham. And he couldn't go to us then. If he did, he'd been lying to Abraham. And if he lied to Abraham, that would mean that he couldn't. His death on the cross wouldn't make do us any good whatsoever, because he was a sinner, and that he had to be a perfect in order to die for the sins of the world. Jesus never was a liar. He, no way he was a liar. He didn't go to us until after the cross. Look what he says here. Verse 22. We're talking Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. It says, and behold, a woman from Cana came out of the same borders and cried unto him, have mercy on me, O son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. But he answered her not a word. He answered her not a word. He paid no attention to her. She was screaming at him. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's his own words. Red letter edition, mine is. But he answered, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she worshipped him and said, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. What does Israel think about us then? What did the Jews think? We were considered dogs, and Jesus said the same thing. He couldn't go to us, not till after the cross. He knew he was. He was God. He knew it was going to be taken care of, but now he could only focus on Israel. And now, you see, the church, so-called church, is focusing on Judaism, and that isn't what we're supposed to do. You see, he didn't deal with this, and we shouldn't be dealing with it either. 95% of all preachers preach today, they're preaching on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John every Sunday, and they have nothing to do with the church. The church, the disciples knew nothing about the church, and Jesus preached nothing about the church, because the church hadn't even existed yet. He had to die first. He had to die first. And of course, we know that eventually he did heal that child. But here again, he didn't want to deal with her at all. And he told us he only came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So, the body of Christ, we see that it's a spiritual body. It's a spiritual body of people that God has called out. He's called these people out to be the church, for the church for the day, the body of Christ. And salvation for that church is the gospel. that Christ died for your sins and that he was buried and he rose from the dead. And he'll take it from there. He'll seal you with the Holy Spirit and he'll keep you until the day of your redemption. It'll be he that will do it. Once saved, you're always saved. You cannot, not, no way not be saved, because God is the one that keeps you. And he doesn't make any mistakes. And he will not lose one person once they believe the gospel. How wonderful that is for us to believe in that. But the churches don't teach it today, and so that's why we're doing it. And we're going to continue doing it until the rest of this world, until the last minute of our lives. What have you ever heard a pastor say? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. Have you ever had your pastor come up and tell you that you need to turn to chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to show you what true salvation is? If you haven't heard that, listen to this. This is the most important, and most people haven't heard it. I haven't heard it yet in my whole life. I've never heard a pastor do that. I learned from a teacher, from an old cattleman, the gospel. They've turned their back totally on the gospel, and that's for the only where there is salvation. Only place there's salvation, and that's the only salvation for the body of Christ is the gospel. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you will open the hearts of every person that is listening today, that they will see the need for them to come to the gospel in order to be saved and allow you to just take their life and go with it. How wonderful it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I just pray each and every one of these people would just sit down today and tell you, personally, just talk to you like I'm talking to them and just tell you, I believe the gospel, that Christ died for my sins and that he was buried and rose from the dead. And when they do that, they're going to see things happen they never seen before. And I just praise you, Lord, and I praise you for your salvation. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.